Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Genesis 35, we're going to read two sets of passages here. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll read verses 10 through 15. Genesis 35, verses 1 through 5, and then 10 through 15. We'll read these passages responsively. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon their cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Now, we'll read verses 10 through 15, and again we'll read this passage responsively. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. And let's pray. Father, again, we need you. We need you so badly. Lord, these, I believe, are the ending days of what we would think of as world history. No doubt your coming is closer. Every breath we take, we've been saying that, but I believe the time is nearing. Father, I long for your people to know you. I long for your people to want to know you. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Give us your power as we preach. May we please you with what's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 35 is a very interesting passage to me. The story of Jacob, the life of Jacob, and the person of Jacob, I have to admit to you, he's not one of my favorite people in the Bible. Jacob has never been one of those people that I look to in the Bible and say, boy, I'd like to be like that. Say why? Any soup stirring mama's boy who'd rather be at home making chili rather than out hunting is not one of my heroes, amen? I'm not against men knowing how to cook. By the way, I believe man ought to know how to cook. I cook for 100 people on Thursday, amen? And I'm not against a man cooking. But at the same time, I went out with one of my boys yesterday shooting groundhogs, getting blood and guts everywhere, and enjoyed every second of it just as much. See, Esau was out hunting while Jacob stayed home holding on to mama's apron strings. And I just have a hard time with that. Jacob and his mom decided to trick Isaac. Isaac is getting old. Isaac is about to hand down the blessing of the family. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. Now, from the time they were in the womb, Jacob was known as a trickster. You see, they didn't know, they knew there were twins there, so one stuck its arm out, they tied a thing around his wrist. He was born first, that was Esau. Then Jacob came on holding on his heel, amen? And the Bible says that from that time forth, he was trying to take over his brother. He was known as a trickster. Jacob and his mama decided Jacob should have the blessing, not Esau. Now, the Bible says that Jacob and Esau were two totally different boys. They were twins, but they weren't twins. You had Jacob, who was a mama's boy. He was soft. He wasn't rugged. He'd rather stay at home and do those things. Jacob or Esau, he was an outdoorsman. Bible says he was a hairy man. Now, while they were getting ready for this ceremony where Isaac would pass down the blessing of the family, Esau's going out hunting to get venison for his dad. He said, "I want a good deer dinner for this ceremony." So he went out. And Jacob's mommy came over and said, "Let's trick your brother out of this. We're going to kill a goat, and we're going to put some of the hair on the back of your hands and on the back of your neck because your daddy can't tell your voice apart. And he'll know it's not you because your hands are smooth and his are hairy. He'll know he'll feel the back of your neck to feel if you've got hair back there," because he couldn't grow any on his own, amen? And he decided that they would do that. You say, why a goat? Because a goat and a deer are virtually the same animal. They're very close cousins. It's not a sheep, it's a goat. Goats and deer are very close. You almost can't tell it apart. Now, they do this, they fix it up, he takes it in, and Isaac, in his inability to see, says, "You sound like Jacob to me. Come here." He came and he felt the back of his hands and he felt the back of his neck and he said, "Though it sounds like Jacob, you feel like Esau, so I will pass down the blessing." And he did pass down the blessing. You say, what is that? I'll abbreviate it very quickly here. Number one, it meant that Jacob got a double portion of the family's wealth. If there were four children, he got 50%. Everybody else got 25%. And they broke it up that way. Then he became what they call the patriarch or the high priest of the family. That just wasn't the household. That was all the aunts, the uncles, the brothers, the sisters, the cousins, the kinfolk, all the in-laws, the outlaws. In other words, he became very, very, very well known. And he was the one that everybody would go to for advice, for wisdom. He would be the leader of that whole family. Then, also, it was the promised blessing of the Messiah running through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Jesus running through the lineage of that son. Esau was supposed to get that, but Jacob tricked him out of it. These twin boys are now men, and Esau comes back from hunting. The ceremony's over, and guess what? Esau's not real happy. And mommy looks at Jacob and says, "You better get out of town or your brother going to kill you. You better go run and hide." And he did what mommy said, stuck his thumb in his mouth and took off. He runs away. Jacob runs to a distant family member named Laban. It was an uncle of sorts. He goes to his uncle's house, who is a very, very successful cattle farmer, and says, "Look, I'll work for you till my dad dies because I need to build a business." He tricks his uncle into hiring him. I love this. While he's there, he falls in love with a young lady. Her name was Rachel. He said, "Wow." As he's there, he said, "Look, I'd like to marry her." He said, "That's fine. You can pay me by working 7 years, then I'll give her to you." I don't know about you fellas, but 7 years work for one wife, that's a lot of work, amen? Because then you got to work the rest of your life just to keep up with it, amen? He says, "No problem. I'll give you 7 years of my life as the down payment, the dowry." After 7 years comes, I love this part of the story. 7 years come. They have the wedding ceremony. He goes to lift the veil. Guess what? It wasn't her. It was her sister. He's already married now to her sister. He looks at his father-in-law and says, "What's up?" He said, what's going on here? He said, well, Jewish custom is the oldest has got to get married first, and I have to marry her off first, so because you didn't ask for her, it would be offensive, so you got to take her now first. Doggone, he got married to the wrong one. He says, now what? He said, you got to work 7 more years if you want the one you want. He said, I'll do it. She must have been some woman, let me tell you. 14 years labor for one woman. So he works those next 7 years while he's married to her sister. Can you imagine what that family battle was like? He gets married to her. He's been working 14 years away from home. He says, time for me to maybe start launching out on my own. And he said, Laban, how about you let me start earning and building my own business out of yours? Would you? I've worked for you for 14 years. I've improved your business. You've even changed my wages several times, knocking it off because we've been so successful. Why don't you start paying me in cattle? And I'll build my own business. And for the next 6 years, Jacob does that very thing, builds a very successful business. 20 years have passed. His daddy's about to pass. Time to go back. He said, that's it, I've had it. My father-in-law has changed my wages 10 times. I married the wrong woman the first time because he tricked me. You know, now you know why, fellas, they put that veil on their face, amen? So you don't know what you're getting for sure till you pop that puppy up. 20 long years. 20 years he has labored and he has been away from a place called Bethel. Bethel is that place where Jacob, over 20 years before, God had showed him that he would be the leader of a great nation, where he wrestled with God and God touched the hollow of his thigh and the sinew shrank and he walked with a limp because of it. That night when he wrestled with the angel of God was in a place called Bethel. He said, my brother's probably still mad at me. I've not even talked to my brother in 20 years. But you know what? I got to get back. I've wasted 20 years of my life. It's time to get back. Jacob packs up his wives, his children, his cattle, all of their possessions, and they start the long journey back to a place called Bethel. Listen to me. They're just about there. They're just about back, and somehow Esau gets word that Jacob is bringing a large caravan back to Bethel. And Jacob loads up and rushes out to meet them. Word comes back to Jacob that they can see Esau in the distance coming. Jacob says, all right, I'm going to put all the cattle up front, all my workers up front, all my children, my 2 wives, and I'm going to be in the back. I wonder if he's going to kill us. Maybe if he sees all the success, he won't be quite as mad. Maybe 20 years has calmed things down. Esau says, as he approaches the caravan, is Jacob with you? He said, yes, he's in the back. He kept on a-riding. He got to the back and saw his brother and jumped off his horse or camel or whatever he was riding. He grabbed a hold of his brother and hugged him and kissed him and started weeping, saying, I'm glad you're home. And everything was okay. But let me tell you, it wouldn't have been okay had he never gone back to Bethel. Let me ask you, 20 years to get back to the place where God spoke to him. How long has it been since you were close enough to hear God speak to you again? Jacob spent 20 years, and I'll use a term here. He spent 20 years backslidden. 20 years away from the place and the people that he was to be with. He spent 20 years away from God. Are you like Jacob and have spent a season away from God? Do you need to get back to Bethel in your life? Number one, we all face times of backsliding. We all face times of backsliding. Folks, none of us live 100% of our life, every day of our life, exactly where we're supposed to be. None of us. There's not a person in this room that can't say, there hasn't been a time in my life where I haven't slid back somewhere. I promise you. You say, well, not me. Your pride just caused you to go back a couple steps. Trust me. You see, some of you just need to grow enough so you can backslide. Some of you, you haven't grown since you got saved. For you to backslide, you're back to where you were before you got saved. Backsliding doesn't mean you go out and live in what we call gross sin. It might be that you just didn't spend as much time with God as you should today. Maybe you're not reading your Bible. Maybe you're not praying like you should. And by the way, maybe you do read your Bible, it's just not like you should. Maybe it is that you pray, but not like you should. It's not that you don't want to go soul winning, but you just don't do it like you should. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You see, Jacob allowed family conflict to turn him away for 20 years. Listen to this very carefully. I watch Christian family members turn more people out of church than just about anything. How many times have you been out soul winning? Oh, I used to go to church, but my mom and dad made me go so much when I was little, I never want to go again. Now, just so you know, that's a stupid excuse. But they want to use their family as an excuse. Well, I have family members who are radical Christians, so I want nothing to do with it. Oh boy, have I heard that one. Or the one that I've probably heard more than anything, and I kind of think it's funny, that's just a cult down there. Now, folks, anybody that would call a Baptist church a cult has no idea what the word cult means. By the way, it's been said about this church. It's been said about every church I've ever worked in since I've been saved. Can I tell you what a cult is? A cult is a man-made organization around a person. This is about the Word of God. Christian people that would call a Baptist church a cult are people that, and please don't get mad at me, but here we go. Those are the people that are too lazy to serve God and are convicted by people that are on fire for God. About, every year, year and a half, maybe on a good span, every 2 years, people would accuse Brother Hiles of being a cult leader. It would hit the Chicago Times, Chicago Tribune, Hammond Times, all those. You know, the Hiles cult. Folks, that is as far from reality as it gets. I would be out knocking on doors. Oh, you're part of that cult. If he told you to jump off a bridge, you guys are so stupid, you'd jump off a bridge. I said, you're too stupid to know he would never ask anybody to jump off a bridge. Folks, they're going to accuse us of being a cult. You know why? Because we're more spiritual than they. But guess what? I hate to tell you, you can still backslide even though you're part of something and you're more spiritual than you've ever been. You may be more spiritual now than you've ever been in your life, but guess what? You can still backslide. And you may not fall back as far as you used to be. That's what's dangerous about it. Do you know where the easiest place in the world to backslide is? Bible college. Bible college is probably the easiest place in the world to backslide. every class you go to has the Bible. You have chapel 5 days a week. You're serving on the weekends. You're going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. If you're not working Wednesday night, everything you're around is spiritual. And if you're not careful, you will backslide while at Bible college. I watch it happen all the time. You've got to read, you know, the Bible through 3 times in 1 semester. You're reading it like a textbook, not reading it to get something out of it. Say, did you backslide? I'm sure I did. Say, why? Because I'm a human being just like you did. I'm not telling you that every day of my life I have grown. So we're all going to have times of backsliding. Can I tell you? Parents, be careful. Isaac and his wife played favorites with their children. In their playing of favorites, they created a struggle between the children that caused one of them to be backslidden for 20 years. Now, I don't believe Jacob should have ran away for 20 years. And I still believe that's Jacob's fault, but I don't think Mama playing Jacob against Esau and Esau playing Esau or Isaac playing Esau against Jacob did any good. Can I tell you something? Your children are different. Let them be different. Daddies, don't make your children grow up to be what you want them to be. Let them be what God wants them to be. Mamas, be willing to let go of them puppies. They got to leave sometime. I know some mamas that'll never let their kids ever leave home. You're going to destroy your kids. God didn't raise them. God didn't give them to you to keep your rest of your life, just so you know. God gave them to you to raise for him. Okay, it's getting real quiet. Brothers and sisters, be careful how you get mad at each other. I would hope to God it would never be 20 years till I talked to my brother. I wonder how many years it's been since you talked to yours. Or your sister. Well, we just don't see eye to eye. What brothers ever do see eye to eye? What brothers and sisters ever see eye to eye? But may I say this, don't let that be a wedge to cause you to get away from God. Some of you will never get right with God till you get right with a family member. Family pressures are some of the most difficult due to the fact that people see you as you really are. Family pressure's tough. Okay, moving on. Number two. Jacob got into a pattern of backsliding. Not only is it that all of us backslide, but like Jacob, you can get into a pattern of backsliding. Did you notice what happened? First of all, he got backslidden with his mama by trying to trick his daddy. Then when she said run, he ran away from the problem rather than facing the issues. Then he married the wrong woman. Then he finally got the right one. Then as he built his business, he had to trick his father-in-law. And he just kept into this pattern of going backwards after backwards after backwards after backwards. That will happen in your life. If you're not careful, you'll live your life for what you want instead of what God wants for you. You see, what he wanted to him was more important than what God wanted for him. And he faced extra hardships. Listen to me very carefully. Let me apply this very practically. Those of you that have younger children, guess what? Your kids are going to mess up. They're going to mess up. We're to the season where we're bringing new little ones into the auditorium. Guess what? They're not going to be perfect. Well, neither were you, ding dong. They've never had to sit in church before. It's a learning time. It's okay. And by the way, moms and dads, don't get embarrassed by it. We've all been through it. I was talking to a family this week. You ought to have been assistant pastor at First Baptist Ham, and my wife would sit on the third row right there. And we had to bring our kids in to train them at First Baptist Church, 7,000-seat auditorium, and one of them puppies gets loud in church service. Now, I'm nice. Brother Hiles, man, hey, you're listening here. I mean, he just, you know, usually that was enough to quiet things, but not always. And every once in a while, somebody'd get up, or my wife would have to jerk one up and take him out. And Brother Hiles would say, huh, yep, you take care of that one, it's okay. In front of 7,000 people, you know, I can see my wife's ears turning red from behind, you know. Ugh. You think it's bad in here, you ought to try it there once. Okay, I've been there, trust me. And I'm sitting on the platform, can't do a thing other than thinking, I'm going to kill that kid if I get him. I'm going to blister that boy, man. He's never going to do that again. Well, he did. Guess what? We've all been through it. Don't worry. It's okay. Don't allow that to keep you from coming to church. They got to learn to do it sometime. By the way, maybe you just, you know, you're still in that stage of having kids. You know, one of the easier times to backslide is after you add a new baby to your family. You get out of church and stay out of church and stay out of church and stay out of church. And if you're not careful, I've watched a lot of families never get back into church because they had a baby. Well, the nursery's not clean enough. That nursery's probably cleaner than where they are at home. That thing gets cleaned several times a week and sanitized. Every toy is washed twice a week and sanitized. Now, I could go on and on and on and on. I'm not worried about that part of it. But let me say this, if you're not careful, you'll allow adding a child to your family to cause you to backslide. Okay. Fellas, Jacob was tricked 10 times into having his wages changed. He allowed a job to keep him backslidden. I'm not upset if somebody has to work on Sunday, but when you choose to, that's a little different. I realize some of you work in big places and you don't have, you know, they say work, you work or you're done. I get that. And I believe you ought to provide for your family. I really believe in that. But I think if you have a choice, you don't do it. That's all I'm saying. And if you're not careful, you'll choose so much overtime so you can get the next pay grade or so that you can get the new toy or so you can do this versus doing what God wants you to do and by being in church. It's very interesting to me. If you read chapter 35, verse number 4, the Bible says, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. He's talking about his family. Do you realize that Jacob allowed idolatry and strange gods into his home? He was going back to a place called Bethel. This is the part I want you to get. Do you realize the word Bethel means house of God? He was going back to the house of God and he said, turn it all over. We're not taking that to God's house. Some of you need to go home and clean up your house and get rid of the strange gods. That's the country music, the rock music. Clean up your internet, get all that stuff cleaned up, turn over the strange gods and get it out of your family so that you can get right with God. I'll hurry. Jacob needed to get back to Bethel where he had met God. Look at Genesis chapter 31. Let me show you something here. Genesis chapter 31. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. God told Jacob to go back to that place called Bethel. He said, I want you going back to the house of God. I want you going back to where I spoke to you. I want you going back to where you made a promise that you'd serve me and that you'd give your life to me. You need to get back to Bethel. Do you know where he was at? He was near Egypt. If you noticed in Genesis 35, he said, I will rise and go up to Bethel. He had gone down to go where he was. When you get away from God, you will go down. I'm talking to people in here. You know what I'm talking about. There was maybe a time in your life where you were on fire for God. Then you got out of church. You got away from God. What happened to your kids? Now, I'm not saying that everybody that has kids that goes bad got out of church. I know people who's had kids go bad that are in church, and trust me, mine probably will too. But may I say this, they got a better chance of making it if they're in church. Say, what happened when I started going back to church? I started getting back in. Even some of the family that was in church said, not for me anymore. I wonder how many people we pull out of church that we never get back. Bethel, that house of God, that means you need to be at all the church services. Can I tell you something? The more church you miss, the easier it is to miss again. The more church you miss, the easier it is to miss. I'm going to make a statement here. It's not, the church isn't just a building. There's churches I've been to in my life where God moved, where God's no longer present. I don't have to go back to those places, but I need to get back to the place where God is. Folks, institutions change. God doesn't. Places change. God doesn't. Get back to where you were. Hey, I could not go back to some of the churches I've been in my life. You say, why? I wouldn't be welcome. Say, why? Because they've changed. I haven't. Plain and simple. It doesn't mean it was a bad place. It was a good memory for me, but I can still go back to the God of those places. Get back to the Bible. Get back to the Bible. Let me ask you a question. How much of it have you read this week? Average Christian spends less than 5 minutes a day in the Bible. Don't get mad at me, but we're not going to have any Baptist daily devotionals. Say, what's the devotional? That book right there. I believe in reading the book. Can I tell you something? Just obey the Bible. If we would just obey the Bible, here's the average person. Well, I'm having a hard time making the Bible fit into my life. Wrong way. You're not to make the Bible fit into your life. You're supposed to fit your life into the Bible. God didn't ask you to change the Bible for you. He asked you to change for it. See, the modern fundamentalists, and I use that term in quotation marks. There's no such thing. But this new style of fundamentalism wants to, let's accept what everybody else does. Listen to me very carefully. Listen. The new brand of fundamentalism wants to look intellectual. They want to follow the way of intellect. They're getting all their materials from the neos and the non-denominationalists. I don't want our children to be trained under non-denominationalists and neos. And I do know what I'm talking about here. We want to be accepted by the intelligent people. Have you ever met some of the intelligent people of this world? They're stupid. Just go to D.C. and sit in the Capitol building and find out what I'm talking about. Those are supposed to be some of the smartest people in the world. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Why would we want to be like that? Can I tell you something? Old-time fundamental independent Baptist preachers are smarter than people give us credit for. I might not have my doctorate from Harvard, But I got more sense in my little finger than the average Harvard graduate has. I have more experience of life than they have. I've got the authority of the Word of God and the wisdom of the Word of God behind me, and I've got the Holy Spirit to help me make the decisions to help you with life. I don't need the higher intelligence, though I might not be an Albert Einstein. As a matter of fact, I'm not. I comb my hair. But may I say this, I don't need to prove the theory of relativity. I need to prove the Word of God. You realize that Harvard was started as a Bible college? Princeton, Yale were started as Bible colleges. And in the 1700s, the smartest people in our country were the preachers. They were the only ones that had college educations. Now we get labeled the dirt of the earth. Folks, I spent a lot of time in college. Probably more time than I should have. I don't care about that part of it. Do you know I've learned more since college than I did during college? I am constantly studying. I mean that. I am constantly studying. I am constantly working on sermons. I am constantly studying people's lives. I am constantly, Brother Williamson got me a book, and he gave me actually three recently. I've been diving into one. I had read a book here a few weeks ago on Robert E. Lee. And I'm not a big Civil War historian. Civil War stuff, just to me, internal struggle just doesn't do much for me. Too much like church politics, amen? So Civil War just never enthused me, but I like Robert E. Lee as a leader. He's always been revered. But in that book, I was surprised at how much respect General Lee had for U.S. Grant. I had believed what much of you believe about U.S. Grant, of him being this egotistical butcher. Do you realize that Robert E. Lee, listen to this statement, Robert E. Lee was responsible for more than twice as many of his own soldiers being killed as Grant? Grant was not the butcher everybody's made him out to be. They think aggression means being a butcher. I said, I want to know more about this guy. I got interested. I've been diving into that one on Grant, Brother Williamson. I've been enjoying it. I've been studying and studying and studying, and I'll read something from there, and then I'll do some research and try to find some other things to document it. I'm constantly studying. You say, why? I've got to be constantly studying. Autumn's been working in the office, and Brother Josh and Mrs. Barnes, they'll tell you, I've got books piled everywhere in my office all week long, working and working and working. You say, why? Because if I don't, I can't feed you. I learned more about study at college, but that wasn't the end of my education by far. Boy, that's good stuff. Learn to let people come back. In this story, I love Esau, Brother Colin. Esau welcomed his brother back. A guy that could have been really ticked off. He lost out on his family's fortune, lost out being the patriarch, got tricked by his brother. He would no longer have the lineage of Jesus running through his family name. And he said, come on back, man. I want Grace Baptist Church to be a place where backsliders can come back and it's okay. Say why? Because I got to come back tomorrow. How about you? How about you? Make it easy for him to come back. And I'll finish with this point. God changed Jacob so that following generations. Listen to this statement. Had Jacob never come back, there would be no nation Israel right now. Who were Jacob's 12 sons? Levi, Naphtali, all the 12 tribes of Israel. God did not change his name till he went back to Bethel. it was Jacob when he was on his way. God said, okay, now that you're going to get right, I'll change your name. No longer will I call you Jacob. I will call you Israel. What would have happened had he never gone back? His 12 children are still the focus of the world's attention. Let me ask you a question. Who, in what following generation, will not get to serve God because you backslide? Or who will serve God because you get right with God? That's the question. So, well, there's no hope for me. No, but there are hope for following generations, Grandma and Grandpa. You might not get your kids, but you might get your grandkids. Down the line, you might get somebody else's kids. Someday, somebody will look back and say, yeah, he may have been a rabble rouser, but late in life, he got that thing fixed. And wow, what an inspiration. I don't know about you, but when this old ugly face is laying in a box down here, somebody preaches my funeral, I hope that for generations to come, people will say, he did it, I can do it. He did it, I can do it. He did it, I can do it. Isn't that what it's all about? Let me ask you a question. Is it time to get back to Bethel? Is it time to get back? Hey, we're all going to backslide. Maybe you haven't read your Bible like you should. Maybe you need to get back to praying like you should. Maybe you need to get back to all the services like you should. Maybe you need to start soul winning. Whatever it is, get back to Bethel. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't be like Jacob and run for 20 years. Say, well, you just don't know what's happened in my past. God doesn't care. Get it right and get going. Say, well, it's been a long time. I might have to swallow my pride, swallow your pride for following generations. It's worth it, I promise you.